Chaver, let's go fighter. Basically, last time we learned, we noted that there is a discussion in Maseches Bava Kamma on Daf Samach about Liba of Livso HaRuach, that let's say I blow and the wind also blows. So in the Zaken, you're only going to be chayiv if your breath is capable of fanning the flame. However, by Shabbos, by the Malach of Zorah, the Gemara says, I'm chayiv, because of Malachas Machsheves Asra Torah, because presumably the Torah doesn't want that result of separating the husk from the kernel, and since you're accomplishing the result that you intended to accomplish, so therefore you're going to be chayiv. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. What we spoke about last time, very briefly, is just what is the scope of this din of Malachas Machsheves Asra Torah. To what extent does Malachas Machsheves generate chiyuv everywhere? Or perhaps it's only a limited chiyuv. And we noted that the Rosh there in Bava Kamma says that Malachas Machsheves Asra Torah is not a generalized principle. It's a principle only by the Malacha of Zorah. Usually, you're only chayiv on Shabbos for asiya. Lo, the Gemara in Daf Kuf Chaf, right, 120, tells me, lo sa'asa kol malacha asiya huda asira hagrama sharya, that grama on Shabbos is permitted. Nonetheless, this particular malacha of Zorah, says the Rosh, for this malacha, you're going to be chayiv, even though it's a grama. That's what the Rosh said. And we pointed out that even though there is some room for dispute in exactly what the Ran is saying, but clearly the Ran is taking the approach that not only is Zorah going to be chayiv because of Malachas Machsheves, but the Ran over here is saying that even by Kosev, Malachas Machsheves can generate chiyuv. That's why the Ran tells me that if I erase the top of a ches and I make two zayins, even though that would not be considered ksav b'chol ha-Torah kula, because that would be chak tochos, no? Chak tochos we spoke about last time means that you don't form the letter yourself, but you carve out the outside and the letter gets formed on its own. It would seem to be chak tochos. Nonetheless, you're going to still be chayiv because of Malachas Machsheves Asra Torah. That's what the Ran said. And l'cha'ora, That Ran is certainly saying more than the Rosh, because the Rosh is saying it's only by Zorah, and the Ran is saying it's true by even the Malacha of Kosev. Right? That is the baseline of the conversation that we're beginning now. So the conversation that we're beginning now is basically an interesting conversation in terms of there is a massive literature in the Achronim about perhaps certain malachos, malachas machsheves can create chiyuv even though it's a grama, and by other malachos, you can only be chayiv if you do the act yourself. Now, let's just preface. Chayiv means achronim. What do you think I said? I'm confused.
Which achronim?
So, I mean, I'll give you a whole list of sources right over here. A lot of people. We'll discuss in a minute. Let's give an example. Tosfos on Daf Yud Zayin in Shabbos, right? 17. You guys have Gemaras with you, or maybe not. So if you would look on Daf Yud Zayin in Shabbos, you'll notice that Tosfos has a big chiddush. Tosfos says that the malacha of tzad, right? Tosfos Dibur Maskal, Ein Parsim Metzudos. Tosfos says that even though
I'm a base?
17b, yeah. Even though if I spread a trap, I'm not going to be chayiv chatos, because maybe the trap won't trap the animal. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to spread a trap because sometimes you can be chatos when you spread it. You can be chayiv chatos when you spread a trap. For example, I spread a trap and that moment the animal runs right into it. In other words, according to Tosfos, the way I'm chayiv for trapping min ha-Torah, the way I'm chayiv to be put to death or to bring a carbon, is if I spread a trap, and the animal gets captured immediately. Now, l'cha'ora, what Tosfos is saying is that grumma is not a chiyuv by the malacha of tzad, no? Think about it. If I spread a trap now, I put out, again, if I put out my trap on Erev Shabbos, that's for sure okay, no? I don't know if any of you live in the Heights or plan on living in the Heights, but in the Heights we have this evil thing called mice. Mamish evil. I'm sorry. Do I have to give a trigger warning before this? But you're allowed to spread traps Erev Shabbos. I can't put out a trap on Shabbos. Tosfos says of putting out a trap on Shabbos, you're not going to be chayev chatos. The only time you're chayev chatos is if you put out a trap and the mouse runs in right away. Then you're chayev. Now, apparently, if I put out the trap and there's some time delay between like putting out the trap and the animal coming in, that's what we would usually call grumma. Now, grumma means I don't... Right, if I trap the animal right now, that's a maisa. But if I put a trap and then the animal runs into it, that's l'chore grumma. Tosfos is saying that grumma is not chayiv by the malacha of tzad. Good? Magen Avraham.
No, wait, doesn't it sound like grumma dafka is? Because the mouse goes in right away.
So if it happens right away, that's not grumma.
That's not grumma.
Right away it's considered to my maisa. I put the trap here, the animal runs in, that's like I'm mamish doing it. Grumma would be, many poskim say, that, you know, these types of, like, Shabbos phones for doctors?
Mm-hmm.
So the way the Shabbos phones of doctors operate, the grumma phones, is that it operates with time delay. I push a button, and then, chick-chick, right, it doesn't... Usually you just push the button, and immediately the signal is sent. On the grumma phones, there is a little bit of a time delay. Now, again, I'm assuming that time delay is the definition of grumma. If we'd be doing advanced grumma studies, we could question this. Rav Soloveitchik seemed to have a different definition of grumma, but most of the poskim operate with time delay as the definition of grumma. Okay, Sophia, so we're going to go with most poskim. Okay. So far, so good. Now, Magen Avraham writes in Simin Reish Nun Beis, in Simin Reish Nun Beis Sif Katan Chaf. I give it to you on the source sheets which I distributed around half an hour ago so that you all had ample time to prepare. But the Magen Avraham discusses, let's say I have a Rechayim Shomayim. Okay, there are different ways of grinding wheat. You could have a Rechayim Shoyad. Actually, people talk about Rashi Matzah, no? Rashi Matzah just means that they grind the wheat with a Rechayim Shoyad, that is Rashi Tevos Rashi, right? Rechayim Shoyad. Now, basically, that means that you're cranking it and you're grinding the wheat. Another way of grinding wheat is you have an automatic grinder. The way they had the automatic grinders was a Rechayim Shomayim, which is I put the wheat in the basin, and water comes down. It's like a machine, and the water comes down, and the water powers a wheel, and the wheel grinds the wheat. Right? Make sense? This simple machinery, water-powered grinder. Says the Magen Avraham, if I put wheat into a Rechayim shel mayim, I am not chayiv on Shabbos. He says that's going to be an Isser Derabanan. And therefore he comes up with a big kula that let's say I need to grind wheat on Shabbos. I shouldn't tell a guy to grind the wheat for me. Right? Because I'm asking the guy to do a malacha for me. Or I'm asking the guy to do a Derabanan for me. And that's not permitted. Not only is that not permitted, I'm not supposed to be present when the guy does the grinding, because if I'm present when the guy does the grinding, it looks like I'm instructing the guy to do the grinding for me. However, ready? If it's Erev Pesach, and you better be there to watch the wheat grounded, because if you're not there, maybe that wheat is going to be chametz, and... Woo, that's really bad, right? Chametz is our mortal enemy during the Passover season. So therefore, says the Magen Avraham, you're allowed to stand there. Why? Because, says the Magen Avraham, what we have over here is really an Isser Derabanan. It's Rechayim Shomayim. It's not the Malacha of Tochein. Because just like the Malacha of Tzad is only when you catch the animal directly, immediately, so also with the Rechayim Shomayim, that is not the Malacha of Tochein, because you're not catching the animal, or you're not grinding the wheat, in this case, immediately. So the Magen Avraham is saying that it's called grama. Right?
How does this mechanism work?
I think the mechanism works. I put the wheat in, and then as water comes in the river, let's say, as you have enough water, that water is going to go and then power the wheel, which will grind the wheat.
So because the water powers the wheel, now it's grama?
Right. And, well, it doesn't happen immediately. I put the wheat into the grinder, and it doesn't get ground immediately. So that's called grama. Again, we're using the definition of grama that anything that does not happen immediately is grama. So the Magen Avraham is saying that grama is putter on the malacha of tochen. No? But the Eben HaOzer in Shulchan Aruch disagrees. The Eben HaOzer says that to grind with a rechayim shomayim is going to be chayiv on Shabbos. You get put to death for that. He says, similarly, if you put a leech on somebody, do not try this, by the way. It's like a bad thing. But, you know, like, what are those animals called? I think leeches, right? They suck your blood out.
Yeah.
So if I put a leech on you, am I in violation of the malach of shochet, of drawing your blood? It doesn't happen right away, no? Is that correct? I've never had a leech on me, as far as I know. But the Eben HaOzer says that you are chayiv if you put a leech on somebody on Shabbos, and you are chayiv if you put wheat in the rechayim shomayim, because even though it doesn't happen immediately. But this is the normal way of doing those malachos.
The
normal way of drawing blood through a leech is you put the leech on and it draws blood. The normal way of grinding is you use a rechayim shamayim. Since it's normal, therefore, says the Eben HaOzer, I'm going to be chayiv. Now, just before I take Sophia's point, the idea of the Eben HaOzer, I think, and I said this shir in Yeshiva on Tavshin Samach Hei, that was like a long time ago. No? What was Tavshin Samach Hei?
Were I in 10?
That was
2005.
Nice. I said the shiur in Yeshiva the first time in 2005. One of the guys who came to my shiur was a Talmid of Aaron Soloveitchik, then, so told me that Rav Aaron said the same idea. So I'm happy. But basically, it seems like the Machlokes Magen Avraham and Eben HaOzer is how broadly do I understand that Gemara and Bava Kamma. If I take a very narrow approach on the Gemara and Bava Kamma, so I'm saying only Zorah is going to be chayiv ayide grama. Every other malacha not. And that would be consistent with the Magen Avraham, that you're not chayiv on sod, you're not chayiv on tochein, you're not chayiv on anything else besides Zorah. The Eben HaOzer, however, might be taking an approach that you're chayiv on any malacha that we could say is a normal way to do it, al yidei grama. Alternatively, you could even go so far as say that maybe you're chayiv on every malacha in the world where you accomplish what you want to accomplish, al yidei grama. If you take that approach, you just put machon somet out of business. No? If you take the Ran's approach to its full extent, so then I can't make a gramophone because I want to make the phone call. No? It's Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah. Nachon? The only way to square the Ran with the Machon Somet idea is by saying, well, maybe certain malachos yes, certain malachos no, and we have to figure out which malachos are which malachos grama is a patur on, which malachos it isn't. I give you over here a tshuva I wrote, it should be the Har Tzvi, I think I spelled it wrong, but the Har Tzvi in Simen Kuf Mem Ches has a long discussion about which malachos you could say is a patur of grama, and which malachos do I say malachas machsheves asher Torah. It probably has something to do with the normal way of doing the malacha. Mivashel. Bishel is almost always grama, no? I put food in the oven. It doesn't get cooked right away. There's always a time delay. isn't that correct? Zoreya. There's always a time delay, right? It doesn't grow immediately. So I could say that any malacha that the Derech Asiyasa involves a time delay, so you're going to be chayav on grama. The Ran is a very big chiddush, because the Ran is saying that you're chayav on grama, even on kosev, where the normal often of doing that malacha is not with a time delay. So far, so good? Now, let's just elaborate on what we said until now. So this is the first Dikotor, this is the first Dikotor in terms of the Tzomet machines and whether they are halachically acceptable. Yesh la'ayin every malacha, no? Some of the Achronim say, you know, when electricity first came out, so there was a shayla about turning on lights on Shabbos. And in Reb Chaim Oizer's Tshuva in Chelek Gimel of the Achiezer Siman Samach, Reb Chaim Oizer discusses that a certain Chacham asked him, maybe turning on the lights on Shabbos is only a grumma. Now, it's grumma in a different sort of way than we've been describing until now. Grumma until now, we've been talking about as a time delay. But over here, it's not a time delay, but it sort of is Mesias, Mesiras Hamoneya. Okay, when any physics majors? Basically, the way a circuit works is it goes around and around and around, and the load at the end of the circuit, that light bulb, turns on, because I have a battery over here, and the load over here, and the wires go around and around, and it turns it on. When I have a switch, what the switch basically does is it lifts one of the wires, so the circuit's not going around and around. When I turn that thing down, when I turn the switch up, down, whatever, what I'm doing is I'm reattaching the wires. When I reattach the wires, I cause the circuit, and then it goes on. So some argued, and it's questionable whether the analysis is correct, but maybe what I'm doing is some sort of grumma. That was the argument.
Did we see this in the context of Rav Willig with the starters being...
So we start a book about this in the context of psik ratios over there, right? I mean, it was a very related topic, absolutely. But someone asked Reb Chaim Oizer, maybe it's grumma. So Reb Chaim Oizer says, first of all, it's not grumma. Second of all, even if it is grumma, one could argue that Havara, you're chayiv on grumma. You see, Havara isn't a normal malacha. All the malachos in the Torah we derive from lo sasa ko malacha. And when I speak about lo sasa ko malacha, that means asiya is aser, but grumma is shari, grumma is permitted. But havara, since havara is explicit in the Torah, no? Lo tiva'aru esh b'chom moshev oseichem b'yom ha-shabbos. Since havara is beferish in the Torah, so one could say that the exemption of grumma does not exist by havara. That's Reb Chaim Oizer's brilliant chap. I like that. You have to smile. When there's good Torah, you got to smile.
All Torah is good.
Huh? All Torah is good, right? That's your argument? That's true, but some Torah brings more of a smile to your face. And some Torah is better than others. Okay. So this is point one that we wanted to discuss. Machlokes Magen Avraham and Evan HaOzer, and how it relates, let's say, to the Tzomet machines. Let's move on in our discussion. Did I start saying something before and I stopped? So I started saying like this. So in order to elaborate on this a little bit more, perhaps we could say as follows, that the machlokas between the Ran and the Rashba relates to the p'tur of chak tochos, va'afareshet sichati. The Gemara says that chak tochos is not ksiva by a get, no? If I cut around the letter, so that's not called writing. Yesh lach kar, why is that not writing? Is it a chisaron that it's not ksav? Or is it that it is ksav, but I didn't do it? Is it not ksav at all? Or is it ksav that happened al yedei grumma? No? Think about a chak tochos case, right? One of you last night, I think Elisheva, last time pointed out that maybe it was Adina, or maybe it was one of you pointed out that maybe the idea of chak tochos is like a cookie cutter. No? So a cookie cutter. If I make an aleph with a cookie cutter, is it the pshat that that is not an aleph because I didn't form the letters? Or maybe it is an aleph, but because I didn't form it, the aleph was formed al yidei grama, so therefore I am not the kosev, I didn't write it. And that's why it can't be a kosher get, because for it to be a kosher get, I have to write it. Right? That's the chakira. So Rashi in Gittin writes, on that sugya of chuk tochos, Rashi writes that chuk tochos is enoksav. Right? Rashi says chuk tochos, haste nisht ksav. Right? Do I have to translate that for the Philistines among us? Chuk tochos is not writing. Api halacha. But the definition of Philistine did not speak Yiddish. I think it's obvious. No? Okay. We just have to clarify things. The Ran on Tesamid Beis Bedape Harif in Gittin, the Ran writes, Chuk Tochos Lo Karinon Bey Vikosav Lefisha Lo Asa Maisa Beguf Ha'os. In other words, the Ran is telling me, this is my Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe Brown's diuk, that the Ran is saying that the chisaron of chuk tochos is I did not do a ma'isa. Right? Lo asa ma'asa beguf ha'os. That means a chuk tochos means it's ksav, but I didn't do it. Meaning, to put it into terminology that we understand, according to the Ran, the chisaron of chuk tochos is a chisaron of grama. Now, if it's a chisaron of grama, so I have the Gemara in Bava Kamma that tells me that Malachas Machsheves overcomes grama. However, if chuk tochos is a chisaron that it's not ksav at all, it's not ksav shena'asa me'elov, it is not ksav. So, if it's not ksav, so then Malachas Machsheves can't magically turn something that's not ksav into ksav. So therefore, perhaps the dispute between the Ran and the Rashba is simply related to what is the limitation of Chuk Tochos. Right? The Rashba is saying that Chuk Tochos is not ksav at all. And therefore, Malachas Machsheves can't overcome it. Does this sound good, Eliana?
Yeah.
Okay. It's almost a smile. Good. I like it when people are happy, you know? It's a serious chakir. Is there a mitzvah, simchas yom tov and yom atzma'ut? No? Nafgamina is whether you have to learn Torah, because how else you have simchas yom tov? Very serious question. Hey, Michal thinks I'm crazy. That's not the first time. Okay, so basically what we're saying is that for the Ran, l'shitaso, that the chisaron of chuk tochos is that it's not ma'isik sav, it's a grama, so therefore I can overcome that with malachas machshavas. If this is correct, so we could have a ha'ora on a comment of Reb Kiva Eger, v'afareshet sichati. In the Gemara, we say that if I erase the top of a ches and I make it into two zayins, I'm chayiv. Right? Question. Zayin requires tagin. It requires those little crowns on top of the letter. Sha'atnei's gates require tagin. Okay. So how come I'm chayiv if I erase the top of the ches? There's no crown on the zayin. And the Gemara, by the way, later on, the top of Kufhei Omer Aleph, asks Akasha, in the case I intend to write one letter and they end up with two letters, am I chayv, am I potter? Zaknava, it depends whether the letter needs a yunim or doesn't need a yunim. You see that if the letter needs a yunim, if the letter needs those crowns, without the crown, it's not a letter. So how come I'm chayv on the erasing of the top of the ches, I'm making it two zayins, there's no crowns. Now the Shulte Hagiborim, on the side of the Rif, the Shulte Hagiborim asks this kasha. Shulte Hagiborim asks that there seems to be a stira in these two gemaras, which are one right next to the other. that the Gemara Kuf Hei Amud Aleph says, if I don't do the Zion, I'm Potter. It's Naksav. So how come I'm Chayiv when I erase the top of the Ches? That's a Shotei Agiborim's Kasha. Comes along Kagon Reb Kiva Eger and a Tshuva and Simon Chof Aleph. And Reb Kiva Eger answers, I'll tell you why you're Chayiv. You're Chayiv because of Melechas Machsheves, Asr Torah. No? Just like the Ran said, that I should not be Chayiv ordinarily. If I'm writing a Sefer Torah, I'm writing Tefillin, I'm writing Mezuzahs. And I erase the top of the Ches, and I make two Zayins. That's not Ksav for Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzahs. But it is Ksav Le'inyin Shabbos. Because Melechas Machsheves, Asr Torah. So therefore, on Shabbos, if I want to write a Zayin without the Tagen, I'm Chayiv. Melechas Machsheves, Asr Torah. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger's answer. The Gemara in Kofet that says I'm Potter on Shabbos is talking about a case where B'dafka you want to make the Zayin. You want to make the Tagen on top of the Zayin. If you Dafka want to make the Tagen, then you're Potter until you make the Tagen. But if you don't want to make the Tagen, then you're going to be Chayiv. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is invoking the din of Melechas Machsheves, Asra Torah, for a letter without Tagen. Now, here's the problem, ladies. Usually I would say ladies and gentlemen, but like, here's the problem, ladies. The problem is that there's a discussion in the Tur in Simen Lamed Vav of Or HaChaim. I gave you the Tur on these source sheets, which you obviously went through thoroughly. But the Tur writes that a machlokas. There's a machlokas about whether an os without tagen does it have a shame os or not. Right, this is a nafka means you have to write the tagen, let's say, in the get, no? By a get, you have to write it. Do you have to have the tagen or not? If an os without the tagen is not an os, so therefore, you have to write the tagen by a get. If not, you don't. If it is an os, then you don't have to write the tagen by a get. So I saw in that sefer, the big blue sefer that I use, I forgot what it's called. So in the big blue sefer, he points out that we got a problem over here now. No? If I hold that an os without tagen is not an os, so if that's the case, Melechas Machsheves cannot make it into an os. When the Ran said that Melechas Machsheves makes Chak Tochos into an os, perhaps the pshat over there is, like we explained 2 minutes ago, that Chak Tochos is an os, it's just an os, right, that happened Aide Grama. And Melechas Machsheves can fill in the problem of Grama. However, if there's a chisaron in the os itself, if it's not a letter, so then Melechas Machsheves can't make something that's not a letter into a letter. So if that's the case, Reb Kiva Eger's, right, big Yiddish word, tsushtel. A tsushtel means something that you connect. No? A tsushtel. Tsushtel. Right? So Reb Kiva Eger's tsushtel between the letter without tagen and the chuk tochos. And Reb Kiva Eger says, if you're going to be chayiv on Chak Tochos because of Melechas Machsheves, you should also be chayiv for the letter without tagen because of Melechas Machsheves. But it don't work if you hold that a letter without tagen is not a letter. This is a very powerful point. No? Basically, what we're suggesting is as follows, okay? Like, the thumbnail sketch of everything we've done tonight is that all I see in Bava Kamma Daf Samach is that Melechas Machsheves overcomes a chisaron of grama. But it doesn't overcome a chisaron that is more fundamental than grama. So therefore, for the Rashba, that Chak Tochos is not ksav at all, so Melechas Machsheves won't overcome it. And therefore, if you hold that a letter without ziyunin is not a letter, so Melechas Machsheves can't overcome that. And this, ladies, is a problem in Judaism. Or maybe it's the beauty of Judaism that we got a problem here. Okay, so So far, so good? Should we do more? Should we do more? So what else did I want to give you? There's a little discussion over here in the Rabbeinu Chananel on Kuf Hei Yomer Aleph. The Gemara says that certain letters require Ziyunin. If it's a letter that requires the Ziyunin and you intend to write one letter and you end up with two letters, so then you're going to be Potter. If it doesn't require Ziyunin, you're going to be Chayiv. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the case in the Gemara is not abundantly clear which letters we're talking about. The Rabbeinu Chananel says that you intend, this would be much easier with a blackboard. Rabbeinu Chananel says that the case is that you try to write a tes, and instead of writing a tes, you end up with a nun and a vav, or according to some versions, you end up with a pe and a vav. Okay, if you remember when we spoke earlier about the tzures os tes, the tes sticks in, right? There's like a hook towards the inside. A pe has a hook towards the inside. A nun doesn't really have a hook, but if you are trying to write a tes, so you could say here, right, this is a tes, something like this. See this? Tes? So let's say I separate this from this. So now I end up with a nun and a vav. Well, here's the problem. My nun needs ziyunin. My tes needs ziyunin also, but tes only needs ziyunin on the left side, not on the right side. So I'm going to end up with like this weird situation that my nun, right, which needs ziyunin, doesn't have it, and my vav, that doesn't need ziyunin, does have it. So the Bir Halacha that I give you a Marim Makom to addresses this question. It's not easy to answer, but it's all relevant for this conversation. And the Bir Halacha suggests the same idea that we saw in the Reb Kiva Eger, that maybe on Shabbos, you chayiv without ziyunin. But as we pointed out earlier, Melechas Machsheves may not solve the chisaron of en os. Okay, ladies, we should have a wonderful Moadim L'Simcha L'Gula Shleima, a great yontiv. Yom Atzmaut is actually a very weird yontiv for those of us in Chutz La'aretz, no? Because if we really care, let's be honest, right? I'm sorry for making you cry. My father, every year at the end of the Seder, he would say, like, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. It's like, don't fake it. You know, if you really want to be there, like, pick up and go. Now, in some ways, my father gets this because, should I say the story? The only religious grandchildren that my grandfather had is me and my sister. We're also the only ones who lived in Chutz La'aretz. Basically, in 1948, right after Hakamat HaMdina, my grandfather was like, you're all going to move to Israel. And my two aunts and my father went to Israel in 1948. My father went to yeshiva. My father didn't like yeshiva at all. He started working on the kibbutz. And my grandfather was very disappointed that my father's wife wasn't becoming religious. So he told my father he had to come back to Canada. He couldn't stay in Israel because he was getting too into, he was moving between HaShomer HaDatit, HaShomer HaTzair, and my grandfather is like, you gotta go back to Canada. So because my father went back to Canada, so therefore, the only grandchildren who live in, outside of Israel, are me and my sister. So when my grandfather died, he had a few apartments in Israel, and the condition was that anyone who lives in Israel gets portions in the apartments. So I don't have an apartment because I don't live there. I know if I, actually my cousins would probably get really upset with me if I would just decide to move to Israel, and then like maybe I could sue them and get like my chelik in an apartment. Yeah. But my grandfather had some apartments that he bought, and he was like very insistent that he wanted his grandchildren to live in Israel, and those of us who don't live in Israel didn't get it. I got his farm. I guess he realized that, like, you know, my cousins ain't going to use them, but that's what happened. Okay, again, I think, again, Israel's just, it's a wonderful bracha. Like, I don't think we realize, like, those of you probably have grandparents the same age as my parents. My father tells this. My aunt went. My grandfather wasn't so happy with her. My aunt walked. She was staying in JTS then, and she walked to the UN for November the 29th, the vote, which was on Shabbos. My grandfather was not so happy with her, but she felt like she had to be there. Like, this was Canada in the 1940s. Like, people, like, really believed. And my father told me that when Hakamat HaMdina, when they declared the state, there was dancing in the streets. And people, like, and you're dealing with people who are Holocaust survivors. And, like, they were flying high. And for us, the difference is we can't imagine life without Medinat Yisrael. It's like a scary thing. Like, for us, it's such a reality. And because it's a reality, the dream that so many generations had of it, which was, dreams are much more beautiful than reality, no? You fall asleep at night and you have this awesome dream, and then you wake up in the morning and, like, it's not nearly as enjoyable as it was while you were sleeping. And we're at that stage now. So the question is, like, what does it mean to celebrate a Medina that doesn't seem to reflect the beauty that the Navi spoke about? It doesn't seem to all of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants this country. He wants us to have it. It's the most beautiful nation in the world. That's Beferish and Psukim. And we got it. And you're there. And you're like, that's it. And there are problems. It's like, it's a very hard thing to do, especially we're in Chutz La'aretz, we're not even there. And when we go there, we also recognize a problem. So we're celebrating something. What I'm trying to say is like this. I think the celebration of Yom HaAtzmaut in Chutz La'aretz in some ways should be more beautiful than it is in Eretz Yisrael, because for us, we're still celebrating a dream on some level. And for the people in Eretz Yisrael, the people who live in the nation, who live in Medinat Yisrael, they have a reality, which there might be a dream, but they also have to deal with, you know, regular life. For us, it's still a cool old dream. And that should make it more beautiful. On the other hand, we should beat ourselves up because, like, pinch yourself, wake up. You don't have to still be dreaming. That's the basic point I'm making. So, have a good Yom Tov.